And so if I'm asking Jesus to come along with me in this battle against anxiety, I have to ask Jesus to fight the battle against anxiety in me.
Her buddy Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Again, today we're in LifeWord Studios, broadcasting in over 150 languages to 127 countries to a potential listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our Christian content here on LifeWord.org, along with our podcast, and you can find our reels and all of that kind of stuff, LifeWord.org. Today with me, I have a host of a LifeWord series of a daily word of encouragement. So we have Allison Franklin with us today. Allison, thank you so much for being here.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So tell our listeners a little bit about what the daily word of encouragement is. As if the name doesn't explain it, what does that really mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So Monday through Friday, I post simply a daily word of encouragement. Sometimes it looks different. Typically, it is just what the Lord is teaching me, through his word and in my time with him. So that may look like a breakdown of scripture, or it may look like something that he's teaching me a lot of times through my 3-year-old toddler. It's just simply a daily word of encouragement that the Lord, shares with me, and I felt called to share with others. And so, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how the Lord teaches us stuff just through our children?
Oh my goodness. It's wild. And it's truly daily. And honestly, having a toddler has humbled me so much. Yeah.
My son is 9 years old, but I never truly understood what the love of the Father really meant until I was a father. And just embracing all that there is there, and the daily things. He told me this morning, I don't even remember what he said. And I said, Luke, he was going to eat some kind of combination of food. And I said, Luke, that's nasty. And he said, don't yuck my yum.
Oh,
man, there's a lot of wisdom there.
There is. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So tell us a little bit about you, how this daily word of encouragement really got started.
Yeah. So it started in 2021, in honestly the hardest chapter of my entire life. So in 2021, I was going through a divorce, and actually went from being a stay-at-home mama to a single mama with full custody. My entire life was starting from scratch. And really, 2 months before mine and Asher's world kind of fell apart, I was just studying God's word. And one day felt like he was asking me to pick up my phone and share it. And so it wasn't fancy. I literally just put my phone up against a stack of books and just started sharing it. And honestly, those were some of the videos that have reached the most amount of people in the several years that I have been in media ministry. It started out like that. So 2 months after starting that, and it was just on TikTok, life fell apart, was starting from scratch. And each day I would really struggle to get out of bed. A lot of times that looked like me hitting my knees to the floor and just praying for the strength. I mean, it wasn't pretty. It was brutal, honestly, but every single day the Lord would give me a daily word of encouragement. And in those early stages, it was for me, and I wasn't sharing it. I'd stopped for a little while, but he was restoring and rebuilding, and I started sharing what he was giving me each morning to get out of bed with others. And it started to develop into an actual show, a daily word of encouragement. And eventually the calling was specifically to LifeWord. And there's a whole story behind that that's really cool that I love to share. It was just a daily word of encouragement that I needed to get out of bed in the morning. And I knew that others needed. And it was a very clear calling that I needed to share that with others. And so, yeah.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that we tell people who are suffering with depression, anxiety, and even if it's an acute depression or anxiety due to circumstances, is that the more that you share with others, the more that you bring joy to others, the more of that joy that will come back to you. However, I would probably say in your situation, you had to seek that encouragement from the Lord in order to find it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, so a lot of times, you know, it might be that, hey, I don't feel like getting out of bed, but as you turned, you got out of bed and on your knees, where there's a lot of people struggling today that can't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
So what would your words of encouragement be to someone who may be that far into depression that they just can't get out of bed?
Yeah. I think that I would say that there's grace for you. And I think that I know in some of the struggles where there would be a day that I wouldn't get out of bed and I'd start to feel like there was some shame there because of that. And then I think that that's what the enemy does is he then turns, you know, us feeling like we're not doing a good enough job as a Christian or as a follower of Christ. And he turns that into a seclusion from Christ. And that's not what God wants. There are new mercies every single morning. And we were saved by grace and we have daily grace, you know? And I think, I would just encourage you to seek the Lord and not try to be enough, but seek the one who is enough, and he's faithful.
Yeah, you mentioned that guilt and shame kind of creeps in, but the remedy to guilt and shame is confession. Yeah. The Bible's very clear in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we even look into the things that are depressive, the things that cause us anxiety, when we speak those, there's something that happens when we will confess. And it may be that we have to have somebody who we can trust, that we can rely on, that we know will keep it to themselves, that we confess to. During this time of, as you put it, the worst part of your life, the worst time of your life, how did you find that person to be honest and transparent with?
So, yeah, that's a great question. Because we are made for community and the Lord has built us to need others. And also, like, you know, others need us, like they need us to share what we're going through. So I was a part of a discipleship group that really loved on me, helped me through, loved me through the mess. But I also was a part of a program called Divorce Care and made some strong friendships there. And actually the leaders of Divorce Care were some church members and were my Sunday school teachers as well. And they just really poured into me, listened, sometimes didn't even speak after I talked, and that was what I needed sometimes. They were just a steady presence. And and I mean, also I was in counseling and off and on still am in counseling. You know, our bodies keep the score. And so this season, actually the October, November that's coming up is typically the hardest for me because where, you know, I have found freedom in, you know, in Jesus, sometimes my body holds on to things and my anxiety starts to spike. And it's like just a built-in calendar that I pray that eventually won't be there. But I mean, there are people that know more than us. And so I think that, you know, counseling and seeking community and others who have been through it is so important and has been so important to me and my walk.
Yeah, you know, scripture is very clear that there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. So whatever you feel, however you're feeling, there is somebody on the face of the earth that has gone through maybe not exactly the same thing, but relatively close to that same thing. And if we're not seeking out those people to bring comfort into our hearts, into our lives, it's very easy to fall into that trap of that this is the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody and really begin to feel sorry for ourselves and really get deeper into that depression that seemingly will never go away. and you said it, community is important. We have to have that community in order to make it through our everyday life, not just in the bad times, but in the good times, we need to celebrate each other as well. You mentioned in this season, kind of October, November, your anxiety seems to be a little worse. Is that, without being too personal, is that because that is the time that the loss or the divorce took place?
Yes, it is.
All right. Because sometimes there is this thing that the acronym is SAD, and they didn't do that on purpose, but seasonal affective disorder, of where there's the changing of the season, so you're not having as much sunlight as you would, that affects mood and ability to function. So I wondered if, you know, that could be a concept too, of, you know, trying to make it through as the seasons change. But if it's directly related to the time, then it's probably not seasonal affective disorder. So pulling through, how old was your son during all of this?
He was one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how difficult was it to navigate now being a single parent, not just a single parent, but of a toddler?
Yeah, it was tough. Oh my goodness. For a couple of reasons. I mean, it was tough in general. I had a really good job as a administrative assistant for an engineering company, and had really prayed through and made a scary decision to be a stay-at-home mom. And it wasn't long after that everything, you know, fell apart. And so there was a lot of mom guilt there, because I was going from, you know, it felt like I'd made a bad decision, and like, there's just so many emotions that already come with just being a mother or a parent in general. You know, there's a lot of pressure there. And there was, I mean, you know, a lot of fear as well, because thank goodness, we were able to move into my parents' house, and we had a big estate sale and sold a lot, and had church members. We were members of Pathway Baptist Church, a wonderful church in Waxahachie, sweet, sweet church family. And they all came, and they paid way too much for our stuff, just so that, you know, we'd have some to start off with. But yeah, I mean, it was really scary, but I'll tell you what was a little interesting about that season was that the Lord was also doing a work in my heart, you know, preparing me for LifeWord. And so it was actually, I guess, 2 months after moving into my parents' house and starting from scratch, that what would have made sense would have been for me to have went out and just got a job, any job, you know, and started to prepare to get us back on our feet. But what the Lord was doing in my heart was not that. I was being called to media ministry. And so he affirmed that through several people, but also in a couple of just big ways. So LifeWord Sunday, actually, of 2021, it was the first Sunday back to church after everything had happened. And I was sitting in a pew at Pathway Baptist Church, and really was just broken. I was sitting with my Sunday school class, and it was young couples with kids. And I was without my husband, you know, and it was really brutal, but I needed hope so desperately. And I mean, the Lord met me there, but it was hard. Like, it just was. And they passed out the flyers for LifeWord Sunday. It was the No Border series. And there was a little girl sitting in front of me, one of my friend's daughters, and she drew a picture of me and Asher. She was 4 years old. She had no clue what was going on. It was absolutely the Lord. But she drew a picture on a sticky note of me and Asher, and I stuck it to that LifeWord bulletin. And that was the only reason that I kept that bulletin. And so took it home, laid it on my dresser, and really didn't think about it much, but I'd still been just feeling like the Lord was about to do something through this daily word of encouragement, and was wanting to be obedient to it, but was also feeling a lot of just shame and like, I just need to go get a job. I can't do this right now. This has got to be a later thing. I don't have time for this. Like, I just need to take care of us. But I just felt so clearly that this is what the Lord was asking me to do. And so anyway, I was praying through that one day, sitting in bed, and felt like the Lord was like prompting me to go pick up that LifeWord flyer, and felt crazy in that moment because I was like, that's kind of random. Okay. So anyway, I went and got it, and everything that I had just journaled, and because I write out my prayers, I've got a stack of my whole walk with the Lord is all documented in my journals, and everything that I was just praying to the Lord that he would make this clear to me, that he, if he was going to provide a job, that it would be to where I would be able to use my creative gifts, and but also specifically my desire for a daily word of encouragement. And anyway, everything that was on the bulletin and LifeWord's mission statement lined up just word for word exactly. And it could not have been more clear. And there was a picture of Asher and I on that bulletin, and it was stuck to it, and he made it so clear, and I just didn't see it until that moment. And that's where the calling, was clear, and it wasn't immediate after that. I made a call to Donnie Parish, and the ball started rolling. But still, there were 4 months where I still every single day woke up feeling shame as a mama, and feeling like I was just in the pits. But I knew that this is what the Lord was asking me to do, and it is just crazy what he's done since then. I started LifeWord, and I had thought, I assumed God's plan. I thought it was going to be full time, and I thought that this is the answer. Like, it's going to be full time, and then the Lord's going to provide the house and all everything, like everything that I was praying for, and he did. But it wasn't the way that I had imagined it going at all. He did lay it all out, but it was after a scary season of, being just in the pits and being attacked by the enemy, but choosing to be faithful through it. And looking back, I shouldn't have went and got a job. I mean, all of those things that I felt like made sense would have been disobedience ultimately to what the Lord was calling me to do. But yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah. But isn't it amazing how, even though it wasn't your plan and the way that you thought it would work out, that the Lord laid it all out for you to be able to do what you felt like was what you were supposed to do?
No, it is amazing. And I think just in those seasons, where we can't see the full picture, but we trust anyway, he just teaches us that we can trust him, and we don't have to have the full picture. We don't have to know all of the details. And I mean, there may be people that think that you're making the wrong decision, for your family, or I mean, it could be for so many different reasons, but we have a personal relationship with the Lord, and a lot of times, the things that he asked us to do require faith. And faith is seeing what we can't see, the full picture. And so I mean, those are the things that have really just built this relationship even more, and have, like, now in this season, just given me the courage and confidence in him to do scary things, and just to knowing that he'll take care of me. And not just faith, but trust. I think they are two separate things.
Yeah. And the hardest thing as a Christian is to walk by faith and not by sight. Even relying on how God has brought us through so many things, it's still difficult when we're in that season of feeling like we don't know what's going on. I heard, I don't remember who said it, but I was listening to something and they made the statement that, the teacher is always the quietest during the test. And that sometimes it feels like God is silent and God isn't responding, but He is in His own way, giving us direction in life. It is difficult, and especially if you're already in that depressive anxiety place of not knowing, I would encourage people to focus on what they do know, and what they do know is that they've never been forsaken, that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that he's an ever-present help in time of trouble, to rely on those things that you know to be true. And even within depression and anxiety, when we look at things like a grounding technique, is that you focus on the things that you know is true. You look at something, you see something, you go through your five senses and really ground yourself in knowing that you are in this reality and that everything that's going on around you or in your mind that's swirling is not the truth, that the truth is that you are grounded. I initially reached out because a week or so ago in one of your reels you talked about and was very vulnerable in a post about having a panic attack. Can you kind of explain to us how that felt, what that looked like for you?
Yes. So I have, honestly, my whole life I've had just a real struggle with anxiety. I have a desire to be a non-anxious presence, and it seems like that is just the thing that has just been the most difficult for me. I am an anxious person, and not that I'm an anxious person, but it has been the thing that I have just really struggled with. And, you know, we know that that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And so that is something that, you know, the Lord can do in and through me and produce in me. But that is the thing that has been just the most difficult. So a couple of Sundays ago, I was in church and we were singing Goodness of God, and I had my hands raised in the air and I was worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden my face went numb, my mouth went numb. I could not even get the words out. Like it was so physical. Never had anything in my life feel like that before, and I have had a history of anxiety attacks. My mind was racing, my heart was up. I started to think I was having a stroke or that I was going to pass out. And just a million thoughts just racing. And I wasn't, in those moments, I was praying that the Lord would just take it. I tried to sing through it. And left the service and went to the bathroom. And there was a friend of mine that was standing at the back. And I asked her to go get my husband. Because I really thought that I was having a stroke. I thought there was something just very physical going on. And so she went and got my husband, and she also got a friend of ours that's also church staff. And I was sitting there. She's also a nurse as well. And I was telling her all of my symptoms. And she was like, I don't think it's a stroke. I think that maybe it's a panic attack. I don't want to just say that's what it is. Like, if you feel like this is not that, then I think you need to go get checked out. But then she shared something with me that made just a really big impact on me. She shared that she has had panic attacks, and most of them have been in church. And for me in that moment, I was still like, I don't know that it's that. I think maybe it's physical. Like, I think there might be something like really wrong. That was exactly what I needed to hear. Exactly what I needed to hear. Because in that moment, as the youth pastor's wife, and like all of these students are here, and we just got done with a series on anxiety, and I walked them through step by step. This is how we battle it. Like, we take captive these thoughts. I know the truth. But yet still there were things in me that I didn't realize were bubbling out in that moment. There were a lot of things that I couldn't see that were going on inside of me that were just bubbling out. And I think that the enemy in that moment was attacking. And it was with my hands in the air, singing Goodness of God, Good Plans. So we went to the hospital, got everything checked out. And really funny, like in my... we have our personal relationships with the Lord. And so many times, like, he has comforted me through like an image. Like, I am like in the way that I think, like, I, in my journals, like, I draw pictures of everything. Like, I am just an image thinker. And anyway, there were all of these like spreadsheets and things in the hospital. And it was the exact like color, the Roy G. Biv, like colors of the rainbow. And I was crying and really feeling like they were about to tell me that it was an anxiety attack or a panic attack. And I was dreading that because then I was like, I look crazy, like all of these things that just go through your mind, even though we know that if someone else is, we see, like if one of our friends is in the hospital and it was because of a panic attack, we would just want to love them. We wouldn't be, you know, judging or any of the things that I felt were about to happen. And so he comforted me and I think was preparing my heart for that answer, just a reminder of his faithfulness. And, you know, they ran every test that they could run and came in and said, it's probably a panic attack. And that was the last thing I wanted to hear. Even though I was thankful that there was nothing wrong, I was like, oh, because there has just been this like 8-year stretch of this relationship with the Lord where I have been like putting in the work. And I mean, he has just healed in so many ways in this area in my life. There was a season, I mean, in middle school and high school, I was crippled. Like social anxiety was ruling my life. And there have been like counseling appointments and all of these things. But yeah, but I think that in that moment, what I realized again, wasn't the first time, but had realized again, is I don't get to be in control. I'm grasping and I'm using tools and doing all these things, trying to control my anxiety, but I'm not the one that's in control. Because peace is not produced from Allison's flesh. Peace is produced by the spirit that lives in Allison, which is the spirit of God. And so if I'm asking Jesus to come along with me in this battle against anxiety, I have to ask Jesus to fight the battle against anxiety in me. And I think that that realization there, and then also that, I mean, in the past, the times when I felt the most peace from the Lord and there's been like just a radical season of like, I'm not having any anxiety. It was in the really big storms where like all around me, I see it. Like, honestly, in those times when I was going through the divorce and like the hardest chapters of my life, I had anxiety, but it was probably the dullest. And I think that weirdly enough, in the moments where like it seems like life is kind of settled, but there's things under the surface that don't look big, but are still there, when I'm unaware of the storm around me, I think is when I am the most anxious. And I think it's, you know, I get comfortable. I don't know what it is. I think that it's just that like, you know, starting to try to do things as a tool against anxiety instead of, you know, kind of letting the Lord carry me through it, which I'm sure we'll talk about it in a little while, but there are like, you know, spiritual disciplines and things that have helped so much. But I think that the main thing is, you know, inviting Jesus to fight the battle for me and not trying to fight this anxiety battle on my own. And I think, after that, after getting out of the hospital, we were sitting in the parking lot at Subway, and my husband had ran inside. We were getting ready to go get Asher. And again, I was just so defeated. I was like, oh my gosh, like we're newly married. We got married May 11th. And so this is a new church. I had started a new job that week. We just moved into a new house. There was so much new, really good new, but new. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I have embarrassed myself at my new church, even though there are people who love the Lord and I, you know, and love me. And just all these things. And in that moment, I just recognized that, well, first off, we were working on some changes with Daily Word of Encouragement. And the changes that the Lord had laid on my heart to make were to tear down my privacy fences and to allow people into the real life vulnerable parts of Christianity, the parts that we don't talk about, and taking my mask off and not making it into, you know, something where it looks like I have everything all together and I've figured it out. I'll never have it all together because I'm not Jesus. I am being sanctified. I am in my sanctification process like everyone else. And that I'm broken. I'm a broken human that is, trying to be like the Lord by the grace of the Lord. And anyway, so I actually got on TikTok and typed in panic attack at church, and somebody made a video, and anyway, it encouraged me. And then just thinking about how the lady at church had also shared with me her experience of a panic attack in church, and in that moment I was like, either I can sit here and be overcome and let this seclude me from others in my community, or I can make a video about this and share that this is what the enemy does. He secludes us from others. He attacks us when we're vulnerable. And a lot of times it's right when we're in the middle of trying to be obedient and worshiping the Lord. And that's what he did. And so I made a video. Honestly, after I uploaded it, I thought about deleting it because I was like, oh, I mean, my makeup was messed up. I looked terrible. It was the most vulnerable video that I've ever made. Those are the videos that I want to make from now on, because those are the things that other Christians who are battling things need to hear. And so, yes,
Yes,
that what happened.
there's a lot to unpack there. But so one thing that I want to make really clear is from a psychological point of view, is that there's a very distinct difference between a panic attack and an anxiety attack. So an anxiety attack has a trigger, whether it is a emotional, whether it is physical, whether it's remembering, there is a distinct trigger. With a panic attack, it is completely biochemical. There is no trigger whatsoever. The reason that that takes place could be because of a spiritual matter. And it could be that, we know scripture tells us that there is a war that is raging within our heart and within the spirit realm. And we know that. And that's why, a lot of times people do have these panic attacks in church. It's not uncommon at all. The difference is, as somebody who is in a leadership position, then all of a sudden we have two choices. We can either be vulnerable or we can seclude ourselves and say, "Hey, I don't know what really happened, but I'm okay. I'm okay. I don't need anybody." But we have to allow them to be present and allow them to pour into us the way that we would pour into them. And I think a lot of times that that's difficult for us as leaders to do because we're supposed to be the strong one, right? I mean, we're supposed to be the ones who push through with you when you think that you can't go any further. But we're just as human as they are. And we still have these issues that we work through in the same way that they do. And I think we forget that sometimes. There is a term that comes along, which is compassion fatigue. And we saw this a lot during COVID with healthcare workers, of where they had so much compassion that they turned bitter, that it was, "I can't do this anymore." And I think in ministry, there's that same thing where we have so much compassion that eventually our anxiety or our depression takes over because we're not feeding and nurturing our spirit. We're not allowing to have that daily walk with Christ that needs to be there. And so having that daily word of encouragement is exactly what we need. We need that positivity in our hearts and our lives. There was a study done here a couple of years ago, and in the part of your brain where you have the anxiety, depression is also the part of the brain where you stimulate joy and happiness. What they found is you cannot be depressed or anxious and have joy and happiness at the same time. It's either one or the other. Well, I think back to scripture where Paul said, "I think myself happy." Then he used the term, the phrase, "I die to myself daily." And I don't know about you, but I do. I have to every day say, which I suffer from PTSD and anxiety and panic and all of those kind of things, is that every day I have to say, "Okay, God, you are in control. It's not I, but Christ who is in me. And today I'm going to be happy no matter what happens. I choose to serve you." And that may seem like something that we say, we shouldn't have to do that. We've been Christians for X number of years. But it is so imperative for us to daily remind ourselves that it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me.
Yeah, no, that's so good and so true. That, you know, that daily surrender. And I know, like, for myself, like, I am so thankful that the Lord gives us new mercies each morning, because I tell you, in that moment, even though, you know, I had made that video and believed every word of it, I still was just feeling so low, and like thinking about going to church the next Sunday and, like, you know, just leaving my house and being around all of these people that saw me in such a vulnerable state was terrifying. But then the next day was a great one.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he lifted me up off the floor. And so, yeah, I think that's so true and so good.
But even in that moment of vulnerability of the church seeing what took place, what if, and we know all things work together for good, what if it was that moment that encouraged somebody else that they didn't have to be afraid of the anxiety and panic that they have, that they could be vulnerable?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that is the whole point, is that all things work together for those who love God. And so I think that what the enemy wants us to do is to feel shame and to seclude and to not talk about it. And what the Lord wants us to do is boast in our weakness, because where we are weak, his strength is made known. And yeah, I'll tell you that there have been some beautiful conversations come from a moment of just everybody knowing that, you know, the enemy was attacking me and there's all these things. And none of those conversations would have happened if I would have not made that video and if I would have just acted like everything was okay. I don't think that when we as Christians go through things and we don't talk about it, I mean, no one's being helped, you know? And like, we have our Bible that is full of vulnerable moments. And I was thinking about this season of, this has really been a season for me of saying yes to scary things that are outside of my comfort zone. Honestly, Allison 3 years ago wouldn't have done this podcast, because I would have been absolutely terrified, and it's outside of my comfort zone. And I've just really been learning to trust the Lord. And so kind of my season has been this slogan, setting my sails in faith and trusting that the Lord will fill them in this voyage of instructions. And it's a part of a prayer by Hilary of Poitiers. And I have just quoted it and quoted it. And it's been so just really powerful in this walk. But then this morning I was reading in Acts and about when, you know, Paul, he's on his voyage of instruction and, you know, is in prison and then is being taken to Caesar and has a shipwreck. And it just made me chuckle, because I was like, that is the absolute truth. We're on this voyage of instruction, but there's going to be shipwrecks along the way. And the thing is that without that shipwreck, I mean, all of those people on the island would not have known the Lord. But also the Lord used that. That wasn't a part of Paul's plan at all, but it was a part of God's plan. And I think that, you know, those shipwrecks are things that the Lord uses. And this felt like a shipwreck. It really did. It felt like, oh my goodness, like, I am trying to be obedient to the Lord and trying to be healthy and all these things. But this happened, and I thought in the moment that it was going to defeat me, and it didn't. I mean, it turned into something that the Lord is using. So,
yeah, if we all could look back on our worst moment in life, whether that be a divorce or whether it be a loss of a loved one or whether it be some sin that we fell into, we can say that it's because of that that we were repositioned into a way to serve the Lord better. Yeah. And so, you know, that's where, you know, in the book of James, it says that we count all tribulation to be joy. And so when we begin to look at life as these bad things are what is positioning me to be the best use for the kingdom, it's difficult, if we truly can believe that, it's difficult for us to be anxious about that, for us to have depression about that. Now, in psychology, of course, There are things that happen in your body that cause this panic, that cause these things. So I'm very specific in, yes, the Lord can help you. Yes, the Lord can give you strength, but there comes a time where you may need to seek a counseling or a therapist or see a psychiatrist about certain medications. And there is absolutely no shame in doing that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree and have had seasons where I've been on anxiety medication and it's really helped. I was actually thinking this morning about our pool, actually. We just moved into a house with a pool and, have had a lot of trouble keeping that thing from turning green. And I was just thinking about like my battle with anxiety, like compared to that, and how, we are learning to put the right things in that pool, trying to make it clean. But there's somebody else who is an expert at pools who can come alongside us and help us, And I mean, I think that's the same way that we can think about our mental health, is there are experts that the Lord has positioned in such a way that they can help others, who are struggling. I think all of us are, a part of the body. We have different skill sets. And I think that it's important to recognize, the need for others and the need for help. And I know that being in counseling has made such an impact on me. And I think it's a really good thing.
Yeah. Allison, it was great to have you here today and for you to share a little bit of your story. I wonder if there was one thing that you could sum up in just two or three sentences that the whole world could hear about you and the things that you have been through and the things that the Lord has brought you through. What would that message be?
Yeah, I think that there has been just a whole lot in my short 25 years that have been really difficult. I know all of us have things in our lives that are difficult and painful. And I mean, pain was not even spared from the Son of God. He had a horrible, painful life, but yet none of it was wasted. And the Lord uses it. And I think that, I think my story and your story is that we have to share the things that we've been through and the faithfulness of God through. And I just pray that that the Lord, uses it and fills those sails that I've set in faith on this voyage of instruction. And I know He will. I think that, the Lord is faithful to give us a daily word of encouragement each day and just keep seeking Him and spending time with Him and just loving Him.
So good. So good. What a message. Well, thank you for being on Knock Talks today. I want to thank our listeners for being with us today. Allison, where can we find more about A Daily Word of Encouragement?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is on all of the LifeWord social media pages. So that's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. It's also on LifeWord.org.
That's great. Of course, you can find all of my content on LifeWord.org as well, on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or at my website, thedocbryan.com. You can contact us there. If you have any questions, or maybe you would like to be a guest on LifeWord, please reach out to us. And you can do that by submitting a request at lifeword.org. Thank you again for being with us today, and we enjoy having you listen in and watch us every week. And we pray that you would be serving the Lord with gladness and understanding that there is hope no matter what you may be dealing with today. Hope you have a great week.